This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, December 20th, 2018. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got clouds and a little rain expected here in the Chicago area. Currently 45 degrees at O'Hare and at the lakefront 46.
Well, the Dow is descending like Santa's sleigh on your roof on Monday night. Let's get the latest on the markets now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, that is absolutely what's happening. The Nasdaq slipping into a bear market, meaning it has fallen 20% from its highest level. That was 8,110. Right now, the composite's at 6,530. So coming back a little bit, but still probably about 16% down from that record high. We've got all three of the main benchmarks in serious trouble now. The Dow down 380 points. We're at 22,945. Compare that with the record high earlier in the year, 26,828. The S&P is falling 33 points or 1.3%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index lower by 1.5%. We are following markets in Europe and Asia, enough to send Japan into a bear market. Investors worry about a lack of relief from the U.S. Fed's monetary policy. The Fed started all of the selling yesterday, at least some analysts say, when Chair Jay Powell downplayed the implications of market volatility and kept his commitment to keep up with interest rate hikes. We've got a looming government shutdown you've been hearing about here on Bloomberg. We've got the White House holding firm against perhaps setting up temporary funding for the government. So that is further complicating the picture. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be talking about the markets going lower after yesterday's Fed announcement. And also, we're hearing the term bear market quite a bit in the last 24 hours. We're also going to look at the latest economic indicators.
Technology Thursday, we'll take a look at the tech stocks that are poised to take off in 2019. We'll have all that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A tobacco giant, Altria, is buying a stake in the e-cigarette maker Juul Labs. We're going to cover that in our next segment. Right now, the Federal Reserve, top of mind today after the latest increase in interest rates. Comments by the chair, Jerome Powell. We welcome back David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver. Let's talk about what happened yesterday, David, especially the Dow Industrials right now are almost 100 or 400 points lower. So what do we think the market feels about this?
Well, I got the Fed right, which was my main job on your excellent program, a rate hike by the Fed. And the Fed chairman, Mr. Powell, who's been on the firing line since that action, emphasized that there's a fair degree of uncertainty about how many rate hikes we're going to get next year. So the Fed was very much on target in terms of what I expected them to do. The shock came when I thought the market might like that statement by the Fed, and in fact, the market has been collapsing ever since. My view is it's simply a symptom, and we talked about this before, of how high the market went, how overvalued it was when we had virtually 10 years of extremely cheap credit, almost free credit, and I guess since it was an unprecedented period where the market was flooded with liquidity and extremely low rates, I guess we really don't have much to go on as to what kind of behavior the market might have now. All I can say is I'm shocked by how negative that response in the stock market has been to the Fed.
We're hearing the term bear market quite a bit today. What do you think?
Well, it's just a period of extreme volatility. NASDAQ, which sort of led the market. It's hard to believe. You guys have to correct me, but if my memory serves me, we had another all-time high as recently as October. The market thought everything was perfect then, and it now is in bear territory. All I can argue is that the volatility is what is shocking, and it's just hard to say where we go from here. I certainly think that the correction is not over. The correction that surprised me so much
is this. This is something that strictly right now appears to be kind of strictly a financial market issue, that there could be some sort of correction based on the kind of overheated market that we saw over the last 2 years since Election Day 2 years ago. But it's not starting to filter out into the economy at large, or is it?
Well, that's a perfect point to make. One of the most interesting comments the Fed Chairman made yesterday was that financial volatility, and Lord only knows that's what we're seeing in the stock market, does not have much effect on the economy. What we have is a sort of a sound money, an old-fashioned Fed chairman after the quite dovish predecessor, Janet Yellen. And he says, look, our job, according to Congress, is to give the economy maximum employment and stable prices. Our job is not to hold the hands of the stock market when it gets in trouble. And I think that was part of this shock that the stock market's going through. And in answer to your question, certainly the Fed chairman feels that all of this volatility is not affecting his outlook for the economy. He has slower growth next year, 2.3% instead of 3% this year, but he's certainly not throwing in the towel.
All right. Well, thanks again for the insights, David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, based in Denver, Colorado. Coming up next, Big Tobacco making a move into e-cigarettes.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Tobacco heavyweight Altria is buying a 35% share in electronic cigarette maker Juul Labs for nearly $13 billion. Joining us now on the International Auto's Orland Park business line is Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and a Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. Gary, welcome back to the program. It would appear at first blush that Altria, formerly Philip Morris, just sees the writing on the wall.
Yeah, look, tobacco companies have very little choice of moving towards a future of lower-risk products. You have a billion people, I think, smokers out there, and this is something they think they have to do. It's already on sale overseas, and it's basically they're saying the best product to convert people over to something less risky.
And according to the stats, cigarette usage is down 67% in the United States since the height of the Mad Men era in 1965. So you do have fewer smokers. And a couple of years ago, when the stats were coming out and they were talking about how fewer people in the U.S. were smoking because of the health risks associated with it, and there were fewer smoking sections, so on and so forth, that the tobacco companies were focusing on the overseas markets. But it looks like now that the overseas markets are even are also falling off when it comes to actual tobacco usage.
Well, I was just in parts of Europe where smoking is as normal as drinking water, and they were running advertisements like we have in the U.S. of people that had cancer and can't even speak, you know, so there's a definitive impact there. By the way, a big part of the U.S. being down also is the gargantuan taxes in some of the states that makes it very tough to buy cigarettes also. But leave no doubt, the health part of it is driving it. People like Philip Morris knows it, and they really do have no choice. Their businesses have been heading south. Their sales growth has been nothing. And if they don't move with the times are going to move away from them.
The product itself has nicotine in it, but not tar, and so it tries to get that out. But do you see this as just kind of a flash or something that's going to be embedded in the market?
I think it's here to stay. Again, I said there's a billion smokers out there, and if they think they can move to something that is less risky for the health, they're going to do it. And I can promise you it's going to be marketed like crazy to these people also. The big question is you know, the minors. Is Philip Morris committed to keeping all nicotine products out of the hands of minors? We'll see as we move forward. But I'm seeing too many of them walking around with the little pipes and stuff like that everywhere I go. So hopefully that's an exception to the rule.
Let's talk about the markets today. They're down after yesterday's Fed speech. What do you think?
Continuation of the bear market. Simple as that. You know, everybody has this idea, why is this happening? Something triggered it. We just started a bear market months ago. It's going to go for a while now. We haven't had one since 2009 because of central bank intervention. And let me tell you the great news. It'll end, and we'll have another gigantic bull market again. So I'm not so worried. I've been bearish the whole time. I've been out of the market, and I'll just be patient. And everybody else needs to be patient right now because there's probably going to be some more time and price. It looks like the economy here is slowing. I think there's economies around the globe that are going into recession. So there is a cause and effect. And again, we'll come out of it eventually and all will be well. But again, more time and price.
Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, a Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. The website, GaryK.com. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, tech stocks expected to soar in the new year. We'll list them. Business next.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Parenti.
Chris, we are sinking. Speaker Paul Ryan came out of the White House recently within the last 15 minutes or so to say the president will not sign the stopgap funding measure passed by the Senate because it does not contain funding for a wall on the border between the U.S. and Mexico. Ryan says they're going to go back to Capitol Hill now and see what they can do. So in the wake of that, the Dow is falling 378 points. We're down to 22,941. NASDAQ down 103. S&P falling 34 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 1.5%. Crude futures are tanking, down 4% to 46.12. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Pre-holiday light trade with no bullish news out there. Corn for March down 5.25, 376.5. You know, January beans down 3.75, 896.25. And wheat up on lighter values in wheat around the world. July up 3.25 at 540.25. And this is Pete at Bates Commodities and Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio, WBBM.
Stocks are slumping today. We'll see what's dragging down the markets.
Technology Thursday, taking stock of tech companies expected to flourish in 2019.
Christmas is nearly here. We'll discuss the gift of investment.
A candidate for mayor of Chicago is calling on everyone in the race to release their tax returns.
President Trump meets with Republican House members as a partial government shutdown hangs in the balance.
Wall Street, the Dow down 382 points, the NASDAQ off 110, S&P 500 down by 36.
AccuWeather says cloudy with occasional rain and drizzle, a high today of 48. It's 44 degrees in Chicago as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
And we continue the conversation. Markets are lower at this hour. We're joined by Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Susan.
Thank you.
Describe what you're seeing today.
It's just an ugly day, and there's really no nice way to phrase it. We've got a lot of headwinds. The market is still digesting the news from the interest rate increase, and more so than the interest rate increase, but the commentary around it and trying to understand what that means for interest rate increases in 2019. And so that shock from yesterday afternoon has continued over. There's still concerns about tariffs and trade. And at the same time, we're starting to hear noise about a global slowdown. So we've got some big headwinds impacting the market, and then a big problem because as we go into this period of year, there are very few people that are still active in the market. It's holiday season. A lot of people are already setting up or have closed and tried to take off for the rest of the year. We don't see as much volume in the market now, and we have a void of news. So we don't have catalysts for the market to act on. That jobs report isn't going to come in until the first week of January. We're in a vacuum of news and liquidity. And so it's going to be just a rough time, I think. And this red and the volatility today is probably going to appear again between now and year end, because this is just a choppy period of the market.
Historically, what does this look like?
This is causing a year-end that is going to be really our worst year-end since 2008 for the major indices. They're all down about 1.5% or more today. And so historically, what we're seeing, interestingly, on the underlying is that things and companies do still show strength. We are overcorrecting to the downside here, it would appear, if S&P earnings estimates hold up. And we're going to hear from companies in the about the fourth quarter, and in the first quarter, mid-January, we're going to start hearing from management teams how this fourth quarter was. We're going to get a GDP report that's going to, I think, give some comfort to the market that things are still moving along. And the concern that global growth is slowing, it's slowed before. We've been here before. This is by no means 2008. This isn't cause for panic. Historically versus that, we're still in pretty good shape. We're just seeing a gradual tick down in the global economy, and now potentially the fear is that it will also be in the U.S.
Well, there is, just every 10 minutes when you read that the Dow is down, 200 points, 300 points, and it's a almost daily occurrence, it seems, you start to think that maybe something amiss could be on the way. But if you like you said, if you pull back to use a phrase that was popular during the 2008 presidential campaign, the fundamentals of the economy appear to be strong. And so it's not really bubbling over into the rest of daily life. Is that going to continue into 2019, especially since now we have a divided government and they may not be able to respond to crises in a nimble fashion?
Well, that's well put, Rob. And I think that the other factor out there that's really dampening sentiment is the political noise coming out of Washington today and reminding people that we have a divided government. Ironically, the market usually does well when we have a government that's split between the Republicans and the Democrats. And we do very well when one controls one house and the other controls the Senate, and they're separate, because the market likes to know that the government can't meddle too much in business. The market likes capitalism and let business run. So ironically, that's when we do best. When we have a lot of divide and that inability to respond to crisis, that does cause concern. But as you said, the fundamentals here are still pretty good. And we're going to get a consumer confidence number tomorrow that I expect to still be very strong. The consumer is feeling good. Gas prices are down. The consumer has more money in their pocket than they did a year ago because they can spend it on something else. And employment levels are high. So that's all very positive. But there are a lot of dark clouds. And in this tough year-end period, when most institutional investors are just saying, just get it over, I want it to be done.
Well, here's an update. Here's an update. Speaker Ryan has announced that President Trump is not going to sign the bill to keep the government open, saying the dispute over a wall of funding is the reason for that.
Well, more noise that the market is not going to like. Now, interestingly, for the market and business, when we talk about a government shutdown, not all areas of the government shut down. And so the market doesn't really care about that aspect of it because it doesn't impact the normal business cycle. But what it does do is go back and highlight that we've got this dysfunction going on. And between that and then concerns over the dialogue around the China discussions, trade, what are we doing? And this concern now, thanks to the FedEx management commentary about global economic activity slowing that we received when they reported their earnings just two nights ago, all of that is combining. And that's why we're seeing this very emotional, very reactive market right now.
Well, very quickly, Susan, if you are a soon to retire or a recent retiree, and you're looking at the market continue to go down, do you make some moves to help yourself, or do you just pour yourself a Christmas brandy and don't think about it?
Get that brandy bottle out, because this is one of the worst times to be trying to make big moves in the market, simply because there's less and less liquidity as we get closer to the holidays. This is all very emotional reaction, and these are some headwinds where the market's still digesting. Earnings and the underlying are still strong, so I would say never rush into any sort of positioning. This is going to, you know, for the long term, resolve itself. It just is clouding the situation right now. And remember that, you know, especially around the holidays and days of light liquidity, that emotional component of the market takes hold. And that's when we see more reactive consequences, like the down market that we're having. So enjoy your brandy, sit tight, remember that you plan for the long term, and stick with it.
All right. Well, great advice, Susan. Thank you very much. Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. Equities, Aviva Investors, based in Chicago. Up next on Technology Thursday, identifying the tech sector stocks that could thrive in the new year.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and today we're discussing stocks in the tech sector, including some key ones that have been taking a hit recently. We're joined by Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. The five or six stars of the technology area did very well in recent months, but what's going on now?
Well, Chris, you know, like the whole market, tech stocks are down. Interestingly, of late, they're perking up a bit, at least on a relative basis to the rest of the market. But these tend to be higher valuation stocks, and in a correction, which we're certainly in, high valuation stocks get taken down as well, even if the long-term growth prospects are favorable.
Are there any special areas here that you would endorse that you think look like a good buy at this point?
Well, I'll give you three names. I think the key to all of these, and really I think to investing over the long term, is the use of technology and the use of data, the analysis of data. And these three stocks certainly fit that bill. Amazon is just a great company. They're number one in e-commerce and still growing at a significant rate, and e-commerce is still a small part, relatively small part, of the retail commerce space. So this is still a great growth stock, especially as they move more and more into their generic brands, selling those. They're also number one in cloud computing, cloud storage, number two in film production. They are remaking Whole Foods, and they have big investments in biotechnology and venture capital.
Okay, a couple of other names.
Sure. So another one, certainly Microsoft, number two in cloud computing. They've transitioned their Office suite, Excel, Word, Outlook, to a subscription model that provides them with reoccurring revenue. They're also big in esports and gaming, and just in services in general. And our third pick is actually Apple, which is also very big in terms of service revenue, the iCloud, iTunes, Apple Music. They're having a bit of a hiccup here in terms of iPhone sales. The cycle seems to be longer. People are keeping their iPhones longer, but eventually they'll replace them. China is also a bit of a risk here, but this stock is inexpensive, trading at a 20% discount to the average. So those are three, we think, great names for the long term.
Let's talk about Facebook's no good, very bad year in 2018. Is Mark Zuckerberg, is that going to be a pick to click in 2019, or should you stay away?
Well, I would certainly be careful about it. I think regulation is inevitable here. The rumor mill is ripe, so I think you have to be careful. And Zuckerberg is not going anywhere. He owns this company. There are lots of stockholders, but in terms of control, he's the name. So he's not going anywhere. I think change is going to be slow to happen, so I would be careful with the name.
And then what about some of the other social media companies, Twitter? That's also been a name in the news because of issues involving content. Is that an attractive stock, or should you avoid next year?
You know, Twitter isn't one that we have invested in. Not a bad company at all. We just don't see it having the reach, and yet it still has the regulation potential of the other social media names. You know, we certainly like not perhaps the Facebook site, but the Instagram site. We think that has legs to it. And, you know, there are other, you know, companies that are on the fringes of social media. IAC Interactive, which is dating websites, a great name.
Well, thanks for all the information today, Tim. Nice to have you on the program. Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, planting an investment seed as a Christmas gift.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
You know, not every Christmas gift needs to be a toy or electronics or clothing. Joining us now on the International Autos Orland Park business line to talk about a financial alternative is Craig Bolanos, who is the founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Craig, welcome back to the program. What are some of the financial gifts that you can give to your children or to a loved one? And how do you more importantly, how do you present them on Christmas morning?
Oh, I got some interesting ideas, but let's talk about why we're doing this. Albert Einstein called compounding the eighth wonder of the world. Compounding can and does create millionaires. It teaches patience, and at the end, it's all about momentum. And if we have children and grandchildren in our lives and we can embrace some investing trends for them early, my heavens, we put them light years ahead of where others are going to be. And I think that begins with just opening up a dirt cheap, low cost, no load mutual fund for that special someone in your life. And there are lots of funds that you can get into for as little as $100.
And then what about just seed money? You know, you just say, like, here's $100, but you have to invest it. You can't spend it on yourself in some other fashion.
Oh, I think that's just it, you know, because the kids are going to need help. I think everybody should be setting up a custodial account, a uniform transfer to minors account. And again, just go pick a dirt cheap, no load mutual fund that's going to generate statements, that's going to generate talking points, that's going to create some excitement. Or maybe focus a different direction, which is how about have the kids buy some shares of a great company in of America, blue chip growth type stock, where we can just have it on a no cost dividend reinvestment program, the way we all used to do it. I think that's a variable teachable moment as well.
Let's say that you start right now with this Christmas with an investment, and by the time the child is 20 to 25, how much money could there be in that fund?
Oh, you know, a couple examples. Yeah, I was thinking about visiting with someone the other day, and they had wanted to set up a educational IRA, and they just wanted to deposit $500. And I told them, if we put $500 in today, let that money incubate on the shelf for the next 18 years at a reasonable rate of return, that $500 could double once, double twice. More importantly, let's talk about college. College is unattainable for so many people, but if I could have grandma, grandpa, mom, dad come together, find a way to seed $10,000 today when a new child comes into the family, that $10,000 could grow to $40,000 over the next 18 years. That might be enough to pay for a single year of college.
Well, Craig, thank you very much for joining us on the program today. Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group based at Inverness. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, a looming government shutdown over funding for a border wall has begun to break down the wall between the stock market and the bears. The NASDAQ did fall more than 20% from its record high in August into bear market territory. It's come back a little since then, but the loss is still steep, and it is across the board. The blue chips now sinking more than 2%, down 472 points to 22,856. NASDAQ, as I mentioned, down 127 points near 6,500. The S&P retreating more than 1.5% or 42 points down now to 2465. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 1.75%. The losses accelerated when President Trump summoned House Republicans to a White House meeting. They were supposed to vote on a spending bill in an effort to avert a government shutdown. But those House leaders came out and said the president is unwilling to sign what has been passed as a stopgap measure. They're going to try to come back to him with something different. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!